Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles with you today, or your tablets, or your phones, whatever you may use to look at Scripture, turn to Mark chapter 6. And we're going to be jumping into an adventure this morning. Let me read it for you. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 57, and 56, I should say. And this is such an exciting passage for a communicator and a pastor and a preacher because, hopefully you'll figure that out in a few seconds. And it says this in the Word of God: immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to Bethsaida. And while he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went up to the mountainside to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch at the night, he went out to them. So that was probably between 3 and 6. Walking on the lake, imagine that. And he was about to pass them by, then some of them saw him walking on the lake, and they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. And immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid." And then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they did not understand about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus, and they ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages, towns, or the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and for these next few moments, I'm asking that you would give us your imagination, that you would allow us to let go of everything that we have carried in and every thought that dissuades us from the truth this morning. And Father, I ask right now that my meditations would be pleasing to you above everyone else and everything else, and that, Lord, you would be lifted up. Because your word says when Christ is lifted up, men and women and children are changed and transformed. So, Father, would you allow us the privilege of hearing from you today? Would you change our thinking and our attitudes and our ideas? And let us walk out of here knowing who Christ is. And we thank you for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about it or even recognized the fact that sometimes when we look at Scripture, we miss out on what's really going on? In fact, sometimes when we read the Scripture, we assume we know exactly what's taking place, and we assume we understand the circumstances and the situations, and sometimes because we think we're so familiar with it, I think we miss out on what God is trying to teach us. And it's in a very amazing passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 6. Many of you have maybe heard the story before. Many of us are sort of comfortable with this idea that Jesus sort of walked on water. Like, yeah, that's a good thing that he did it. He was trying to impress the disciples. Not at all. Jesus has been doing some amazing things. He's been healing lepers. He's been calming storms. He's been casting out demons. If you look a little beginning of this chapter, he has already gone out and fed over 5,000 men. There was probably more like 10 or 15,000 people that were actually fed that day. Yet his disciples and the people that experienced all of this still didn't see the truth. In fact, almost everyone there kept missing the truth. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, one of the things that strikes me, and I've never noticed it before, is I think just maybe, just a little bit, Jesus is frustrated. And at this point, he needs some time to pray and think and process. So if you look at the very beginning of this passage in verses 45 through 46, Jesus looks at those disciples and all of the followers that have been walking with him in this journey so far. He looks at them and he just says, "You guys need to go home." Really? You just need to go home. And he looks at the disciples and says, "You know what? I'm going to meet you in this town. Just get in the boat and go." I mean, have you ever been that way before, just frustrated? I mean, literally, that's exactly what was going on here. He was frustrated to the point where he just needed some time to spend with his Father. He wanted to pray by himself. And I'm sure he was reviewing through all that had been going on and why people hadn't been noticing him. or noticing or figuring out what he was trying to talk about. I think about that because in verse 52 it says this. It says they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. So I literally think Jesus was at that place where he had been ministering, helping, feeding, healing, casting out demons, doing all of these amazing things, and Jesus truly hoped that the people would understand what he was trying to communicate. And let me tell you, as a pastor and as a communicator, there are often times where I will walk in the door a Sunday afternoon, look at Joyce, and I'll say, did any of that make any sense whatsoever? And she says, yeah. And I look at her, seriously, did any of it make any sense whatsoever? And she says, yeah. And I think that was one of those moments in Jesus' ministry. See, Jesus, I believe, if you go through the scripture, was hoping that when he fed those 5,000 people, I think what he was trying to let everyone know about was he was truly the Son of God. I think his true heart there was that people would suddenly begin to understand who Jesus was, that they would have a new view of him. But the other thing he was hoping for was that the people would respond with thanksgiving and praise. I mean, imagine that. You've been traveling with Jesus. You're hot, you're hungry, you're thirsty. Jesus feeds you with fish and bread and water. Everyone gets enough food. I mean, can you imagine that scene? The disciples walk back and everyone begins to notice that, you know, their baskets are full of food. You would think at the very least, people would begin to praise God, wouldn't you? I mean, that's sort of the way you and I hope we'd all respond that way, but they don't. After this amazing miracle, basically what they do is they decide they want Jesus to be their king so he can begin an assistance program for the rest of their life. They don't understand that Jesus was literally the maker of all matter. They don't understand that he was the creator and the holder of all things. I mean, think about it for a few seconds. He had a couple of small fish and a couple of loaves of bread. I mean, he would have been able to probably hold all of it in a little basket no bigger than this book. And yet he feeds 5,000 people, and there's extra. Do you realize when he asked God to bless that food, he was creating something that had never existed? Most of those fish had never been in the water. Most of that bread had never been grown. See, Jesus was beginning to understand that people weren't desirous of being taught by him. They only wanted to be healed by him. They just literally looked at him and began to look at him and say, you know what, we want him to be our king because he can supply our needs. Even his disciple. And sort of, it just struck me this week, that's probably the problem with miracles, isn't it? There are two things that happen when people experience miracles. If you're not a follower of Christ and you observe a miracle, your first thought is, what's next? Isn't that what we oftentimes think? That's what people who don't know Christ is. They see this miracle and suddenly they want, just give me a little bit more proof about who you are. I mean, do you think that was probably going on in Jesus' day? He was casting out demons. He was healing the sick. He was feeding the 5,000. And those who didn't know or recognize who he was were just saying, just let's go to one more night and let's see what he does tonight. But if you're a believer, the second question that happens when you experience a miracle is you get an attitude of more or less saying, so what? You take them for granted, and you expect them to take place, and if it doesn't happen, you get mad. Isn't that oftentimes what happens with a miracle? And so these disciples and the rest of the followers, they begin to believe that Jesus was something special. In fact, as I read through the New Testament, at this point, for most of the people, even the disciples, they believe that he was a carpenter. A lot of them thought he was just an amazing religious teacher. I'm sure there was a group that looked at him and said, well, he's a miracle worker. I'm sure some of them said, man, he is an amazing preacher. A lot probably looked at him and said he was the friend of sinners. If you go through the New Testament, you begin to see that Jesus had some amazing relationships with people from all sorts of different backgrounds. they probably thought he was an extrovert and really, really good at it. At the very least, they thought maybe he could be that political leader that they've been looking for, the one that they can trust in. And the things that strikes me as I look at this passage of Scripture is I think most people, even the disciples, sort of looked at him and thought he was almost God. They were at that place where they were thinking maybe this could be something significant. They really weren't sure, and they really didn't know. And one of the things that strikes me so often when we read through these passages and we look at the disciples, how many of you have ever thought those guys were really, really slow? Have you ever thought, you know, that they weren't the brightest bulbs? They weren't the sharpest tools in the shed? You know, just fill in the blank there. We often give them a hard time because they don't figure it out, don't we? But it strikes me, I think we do the same thing. We just may not say it out loud. For some of us sitting here today, the thought is, well, is Jesus really the Son of God? If you're not there, if you're a follower of Christ, you may be thinking a little bit differently. You're thinking, you know what, I'm not sure he's really big enough to deal with my circumstance or my situation. I need to take care of myself. Or some of us have this idea that he is so busy taking care of everything else that he couldn't possibly be aware of what's going on down here. Does he notice my heartbreak? Does he notice my circumstances? Does he notice my bank account or my debit card? Does he see the bills that are stacking up? Does he understand where my kids are going? I mean, if you're honest, I think all of us have been there before. Jesus recognized that's exactly what was going on in the disciples' life at this point. So he does something even more amazing. Jesus looks at those disciples and simply tells them to do something that they have done probably hundreds of times. They were all fishermen. They'd been on boats before. He goes, go across the lake and meet me at this town, Bethsaida. Not a hard task, is it? And so they start. Can you imagine that? They get in the boat. They have that pile of bread and fish with them. They're probably talking about the days and how exciting it was. And they sit down and they start rowing. I mean, you can just imagine how they do it. You know, they're all rowing and they're rowing and they get out a little bit ways and they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing and the wind starts to blow at them and they go, man, this is a little bit rougher than we want. And they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing. And they're rowing, and they keep rowing. And I mean, I don't know, they probably left around 6 or 7 in the evening when it was light. It's past midnight now, they're rowing. They're still in the center of the lake. Wouldn't that just be an amazing thing? The wind kicks up. And notice, and I don't know if you've ever noticed it before, but it says here that Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. I think it's interesting. If you've been to Israel and you know where the lake is they're talking about, there's sort of hills on all around him. And I'm sure Jesus was up there praying and he was watching his disciples do something that they'd done a bazillion times before. It was no big deal. But the wind starts to blow. And every time they row, it pushes them back a little bit. And every time they row, it pushes them back a little bit. And at this point, I'm sure these disciples are a little bit tired and a little bit anxious about what's taking place and probably a little bit embarrassed because they've done this a million times before and they don't seem to be making any progress. And you see what Jesus does, and I love the way this passage of Scripture puts it. Jesus begins to walk across the lake. How many of you would like to be on Pima Tuning and have that happen? We're out on Lake Erie, and you know the weather can change there just tremendously quick, and some of you have experienced being dead in the water. And so it says that Jesus begins to walk out on the lake, and one of the things you need to keep in mind is, because people I think were a little bit more biblically literate back then, they all remembered the Old Testament. They had studied it, and they walked about it, and this afternoon I would challenge you to go look up Job chapter 9, because it talks about the manifestations of what God could do. And it talks about moving mountains and changing circumstances and dealing with nature. But then it also says that God is the one who can walk on the water. And so you can imagine they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing and the wind is kicking up. And I think Jesus had much more of a sense of humor than we even think he did, because it says he didn't walk toward the boat. Just imagine you're rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing and you're trying your best and you're still rowing and you look up and maybe from where Trent is sitting, you know, you notice Jesus just walking by. Do any of you think that would be amazing? And I think he was just walking like he normally did. They're rowing and rowing and they look up and they probably row a little bit less for a moment. And what happens? He was about to pass them by. I think that's just an interesting testament about who Jesus was. I think he was sort of like this. Are they going to look up? Are they going to look up? Because when you're rowing, you just keep your head down and keep doing what you're doing. Isn't that how it usually works? And when they look up, what do? They cry out because they saw him and they were terrified. I mean, it literally went from I'm really straining and doing the best that I can to full-blown panic, and they immediately assume it's a ghost. I mean, I'm surprised the rest of them weren't walking on water. Isn't that the truth? Fear kicks in. It's a ghost. They're terrified. They're absolutely going nuts. They're not sure what to do. They never expected Jesus to do something like that. They weren't even sure it was him. They just thought it was some sort of spirit. And Jesus comes into the midst of them and says, "Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." And it's what's really interesting is that it says that he comes and he sits in the boat, and as soon as he sits in the boat, nature stills and it gets quiet. Did you ever think what Jesus was doing? See, I think sometimes when we read the scriptures, we have this tendency to just sort of read it without noticing or figuring out. And we just sort of have this idea that things just happen by accident. But it's never that way when Jesus is involved with things. There's always a purpose and a meaning. What was he thinking? Those disciples were rowing and rowing and rowing, and nothing was happening. They were stuck in the center of the light lake. They were anxious. They were tired. They were weary. Probably they'd been rowing for 3 or 4 hours. I'll bet you some of them were thinking, I wonder if Jesus knows the struggle that we're having right now. See, I think first and foremost, the disciples needed to know that Jesus was very much aware. And it says here that Jesus literally saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. So I think at the very least, when you and I look at a scripture like this and we have a tendency to think maybe God isn't aware of what's going on, you need to stop and remember the story and think, wait a minute, he saw the disciples, he also sees me. See, I think Jesus really needed the disciples to recognize him for who he was. Jesus really needed those disciples to change their mindset that he wasn't almost God, but he literally was the manifestation of God himself. He was the Son of God. He was completely reliable. Are you there? See, Jesus began to understand that if the disciples really began to understand who Jesus really was, they would begin to trust him in every storm that they faced. The things I love about Jesus is that he's so practical in his teaching. The disciples had been straining and pushing and trying to row, and nothing was working, and they were getting weary and tired, and they were wondering where Jesus was in the midst of this, and all of a sudden he walks on by and he lets them know who he truly is, because all of those disciples would have run back to Job 9 and says, wait a minute, the scripture says anybody who walks on water must be the God that we've been looking for. And they began to understand that if they understand who Jesus really is, that they would be able to trust him in every situation, because the moment Jesus got in the boat, things were transformed and changed. And I think it's the same for us. I really do think that sometimes we lose sight of Jesus. sometimes we begin to forget who he truly is. One of the things that strikes me more and more as I get a little bit older in the faith and I begin to notice details a whole lot more. When I began ministry, I used to talk just sort of general ideas because it was simpler that way. But the more you walk with him, you begin to notice the details. Do you notice in the New Testament, anytime there's a situation where Jesus is ministering or speaking, or even in the Old Testament, it always begins with a detailed story. This is exactly where they are. If you would look on the map, it would be here. The disciples were in the middle of the lake. It was between 3 and 6 o'clock. They were straining. There's a story that talks about exactly how noticeable Christ is for us. Do you realize that Jesus was trying to let those disciples know that I am the one who knows the details of your life? I know what you need and what you long for. I know you've been rowing all night long. See, I think a lot of us do that. We row. We forget to notice or even recognize that Jesus is always with us. Isn't that what he was trying to communicate to those disciples in the middle of that lake? They were doing the best that they can, much like we do. Isn't it the truth? We are so used to taking care of ourselves. Isn't that how it works, men? We are so used to taking care of ourselves. We are so used to pulling up ourselves up by our own bootstraps. That there are times, there are seasons and days and even weeks when we lose sight of who God is because we are busy taking care of ourselves, because if we don't, who will? And we don't even realize that we were called and designed and made to rest in Christ's grace, provision, forgiveness, mercy, and hope. And he literally gives it to us daily if we will be aware. Isn't that an amazing thing? How many of you have done that? You find yourself even now, you're in the boat, you're rowing, you're doing all of the right stuff, you're taking care of things, you're providing for your family, you're continually looking out for others, you're being a good dad or mom, and you're just in that routine and in that mode, and you don't even think about Jesus because you're not sure he's even noticing you. And yet the scripture says that in the midst of this circumstance, Jesus was aware and willing and walking beside them. See, if we hold the right understanding of Christ, we will realize that he is always working. In fact, Jesus says that really clearly. He says when they had the interview with him, he said, "Guys, you don't understand. My Father is always working and I'm working with him." How many of you believe that? God is always working? I mean, some of us, even in the church, we have this idea that God created the heavens, the earth. He worked for 7 days and just has been taking a break for the rest of the time. That's not what he wants us to understand. God is always working in us. He is always working on us. He desires to work through us for his sake and for his glory. And so Jesus walks up to these panicked and frightened men and says, "Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." Because the disciples began to know who Jesus was, they literally changed the world in which they live in. One life, one moment, one day at a time, that they began to walk and recognize who Christ was. And because of that, they risked death and martyrdom and prison time and jail sentences and hardships. But they changed the world. Do you realize that if you really take the Word of God seriously, that if Jesus didn't show up at this boat at this time, we probably wouldn't be gathered in Greenville today? Because the kingdom of God wouldn't have grown. We're gathered here today because of the work of Christ. We are a ragtag group of followers who are really beginning to understand who Jesus really is. He is the Son of God. And just imagine what he longs to do in us and on us and through us. So I entitled this message really simply, "Do you know who Jesus is?" How about you? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you live with the truth embedded in your hearts and in your minds, so it begins to always impact how you live your life? These disciples didn't get it until this circumstance. They had watched Jesus heal. They had watched Jesus cast out demons. They had watched Jesus feed well over 5 or 10,000 people at a time, and yet they had no idea who he was. He was almost God, but not the Messiah that they'd been looking for. And it's at this point that their hearts and minds are transformed. How about your hearts and minds? Would they be transformed today? Could you ask him in a very simple fashion? "Father, I need you. I've never recognized your son as the Savior, but today is this day. Would you come into my life and rule and reign?" For some of us who have been walking with him, we need to even confess, "Lord, I have been rowing my own boat, and you have keep walking by, and I don't look up to notice, because I'm just taking care of myself." And this may be the day that you stop and notice that Jesus is waiting to get in your boat, if you would acknowledge him this morning. Maybe you're at that place. Would you do that in a very simple way? "Father, come and rule and reign." Would you begin to realize who Jesus truly is, the Son of God, the hope of the world, the Savior and Redeemer and Restorer of us, his children? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I ask that your mighty Spirit would come and flood our hearts today. I'm asking for those of us who have walked through these doors who have forgotten who you are, or we maybe are like the disciples that we just don't understand, and we just sort of think you're almost God and you're a great preacher and teacher like so many of our friends and family members think, but we haven't gotten to that place where we've asked you in and recognized you to be our Messiah and our Savior and our hope. Would you give us the courage this morning to make that first step, that we can acknowledge you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And we ask that you would come and rule and reign within us. Father, for some of us, we have been rowing so hard we don't even recognize that you are noticing. We have this idea that you take care of the big things and I'll take care of all the little stuff. You make sure when I die I enter the gates of heaven, but everything else is in my ballpark. Father, would you walk by our boat today? Would you give us the courage to notice that you're longing to do a mighty work in us and on us? That you long to restore us and give us rest? Your word even says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, Father, would you minister by the power of your Spirit? And Father, there are lots of us who just don't understand that you long to use us. And we keep thinking we're not strong enough, wise enough, or smart enough. And I love the fact that the disciples weren't either. We fit in. Father, would you bring encouragement? Would you remind us that we have been set apart and designed to have a relationship with you? The scripture says, if I'm knocking at the door, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and have dinner. And we'll bring about a transformation that you couldn't think could be done. Father, would you minister to your people right now? That we will walk out of here today knowing who Jesus is. And it will change us and transform us. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to work. And I just simply ask that you'd minister now. In Jesus' name, amen. The front is always open, and there are people that will pray with you or just talk with you or encourage you. But know that you have a Savior who's aware and still walks on water.